much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You ready to get to work?
Excuse me?
It's Monday morning, Peggy. Brand new week. Full speed ahead.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most. The f*** are you doing? We need to acknowledge an unfortunate mistake that I made and one of the teases we bring to you before this program. While we were live just after 10 o'clock, I said a word that many people find offensive. I'm truly sorry. It was a mistake on my part, and I sincerely apologize.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry. Wow.
And now.
Wow, it's kind of emotional in here. You guys keep this up, eventually you'll all get your periods on the same day, which is kind of cool.
Our feature presentation.
That is kind of cool. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It's 5:35, and it is Monday, the 3rd of June.
What's up, party people?
Good morning.
What's everybody doing? How's everybody's weekend?
It was fine.
Fine.
Nothing special.
Wow. A lot of exciting office chat today.
Yeah.
Fine. Okay.
Sorry.
2 hockey playoff games, you know. It's not so good.
Yeah.
Other than that, fine.
The reason they had to play back-to-back was because the Rolling Stones are going to be playing in Chicago.
Is that why?
That's why they had to play back-to-back.
Yeah, not the Rolling Stones.
Not that we know it would have made any difference or not, but it certainly was curious that that was the schedule. And then they play what again? Tomorrow?
Tuesday and Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, so they're burning through this series.
Yes, they are.
It's going to be over awfully quick the way it's going.
How dare you?
I'm just saying. Hey, party people, you're going to wonder why I'm so interested in this story about a Wyoming high school student, but there is a point. He was in the news recently. He is an 18-year-old named Conrad Farnsworth. What kind of a name is Conrad Farnsworth, by the way?
I don't know, but he seems snobby.
Well, he's smart, and that's why you automatically don't like him, Kevin.
No, you asked about his name, Farnsworth.
He's 18 years old. Yeah. I know, it sounds like a smart guy, doesn't it? He has been disqualified from one of the biggest science fairs in the country in Arizona. There's this science fair that he basically planned for 4 years, all 4 years of high school, to go to the International Science and Engineering Fair in Arizona. But when he got there and set up, they came and said, hey, you've been disqualified. And he was very upset. And it turned out that he had entered 2 previous science fairs, one in South Dakota and one in Wyoming, and he wasn't allowed to. He's only supposed to enter one before he came, so they disqualified him. And that's what the story is all about. Hmm. But nowhere does anybody seem to care that his project at the science fair was that he had built a nuclear reactor in his dad's garage.
What?
What?
And that is just such a throwaway in every article that I have seen about this story. So apparently that's not a big deal, is that high school students can build nuclear reactors.
A real one? Like a working one?
Yes. Now, I don't know anything about science because I am not Conrad Farnsworth. So maybe it's one thing to make a nuclear reactor. Maybe what we all think of as a nuclear reactor is harmless, and you have to do something else with it to make it a bomb. Maybe he's just been able to, you know, recreate whatever the science part of it is that makes the thing react.
And they're a bitch to move.
Well, they might be. He built a nuclear reactor in his dad's garage. He made it using parts that he ordered online, traded with other what are called fusioneers, and parts that he built himself. He's 18 years old, and that's what he did for his science project. I think I, used cardboard and cut out construction paper to make the solar system or something for my science project.
I'm relatively sure I just used a chia pet.
I mean, what the hell is going on with this?
I don't know.
I just feel like that maybe should be more the focus of the article rather than the technicality that got him kicked out of a science fair. Like, I really don't care that much about that. But maybe the nuclear reactor is something we ought to be looking into. Like, what's this kid going to do now?
Yeah, and how easy are those to make?
Yeah,
what's it does. Going on?
It does concern me a little bit. He has graduated now, so he won't have another chance to go to that science fair that he dreamed 4 years of attending. And he'll be going to the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology starting next fall. Which, by the way, I did not know, and this is the last fun South Dakota fact of the day, has the highest salaries for graduates of any college in America.
I'm going to say that's not a fun fact.
Above Harvard. You make more money going to the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology than you do going to Harvard as a graduate.
Okay.
Just saying.
I'm just saying I'm not calling that a fun fact. I'm denying that, although it is a fact. I'm not sure it's fun.
Nuclear reactor, though. What's up?
That doesn't seem good.
It does concern me as well.
All right. Right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What's the idea of the third degree?
We're going to talk about stupid ways you hurt yourself. This is always fun.
Okay.
Because really, people not paying attention and just injuring themselves in embarrassing ways. I could listen to that all day.
I think it's happened to pretty much everybody at some point or another. You've been hurt doing something you didn't expect to get hurt by, right?
There's a baseball player who hurt his finger while he was doing the dishes. So that happened. I don't know.
How bad could...
I don't know. Okay. But it's a baseball player, so you have to factor that in.
I've cut myself doing the dishes before. You stick your hand in the water and there's a knife or something like that, or the blades of a blender or something like that. I've cut myself doing
that. Bad enough you can't play your sport?
Well, if you're a pitcher.
Baseball players are pussies.
Well, think about it. He's not a left fielder. If you're a pitcher, you literally can't throw a ball if your finger's going to be splitting open and bleeding every time it rubs up against the leather.
I guess
that does make sense.
I didn't know he was a pitcher, but yeah. So anyway, we're going to take your calls on that. We're going to do a new episode of Chloe or Snooki.
Oh, excellent.
Fantastic. Love that game.
We look at their tweets and try and guess which one is which, and that's tough. That's a really tough game. We have the Bachelorette on the program today.
Yeah? Yeah, we do.
Yep. Desiree Hartstock will be on the program.
She and Ralph have a great conversation. My only question is, why are you so damaged that you have to go on TV to find a boyfriend?
It's a good question.
But that's assuming she went on TV to find a boyfriend. And I don't buy that even.
All bachelors and bachelorettes claim that they go on to find their soulmates.
I know they claim that, but I don't buy it. I don't buy that anybody seriously thinks that they're going to find their life partner on one of those shows.
They just want to be on TV.
Probably. Macon Baird we're going to talk to, who has done a movie called Venus and Serena.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that over the weekend, Bean?
I did.
I know you're trying to, yes. They live together. It's a bizarre, bizarre.
They're closer than twins. I mean, it's bizarre, the relation. I mean, just the fact that their dad decided before they were born that they were going to be the best tennis players in the world. Not knowing if they had any athletic ability, decided that they were going to be the best tennis players in the world. And to be able to make that prediction and raise one of them, but two of the best tennis players of all time, it's insane. It's crazy that exists in the world.
It doesn't sound like they had a choice.
It doesn't at all.
That's weird. Plus, we'll check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. That's coming up. We'll take a break, and we will come right back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Round trip airfare for two, hotel for three nights, tickets to the Reading Festival. Got it for you this morning at 9:10. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Green Day, also System of a Down, Eminem, The Lumineers, Imagine Dragons, Phoenix, and so much more. This is one of the biggest festivals in the world, by the way, and you get a chance to be on the standby boarding list for that at 9:10 this morning, and then throughout the day, you can get all those details at KROQ.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
It's okay, dude. Take a minute, swallow, clear your throat, whatever you need to do.
Get a bubble in his throat.
We're not worried. We got time. To hurt yourself. Just a radio show. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office each and every Monday. Good news. Jaden Smith got kicked in the nads.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was good stuff. After Earth, the movie he stars in, which cost about $150 million to make, only made $27 million in its debut weekend. Making it number three on the list. Number one this weekend was once again Fast and Furious 6, made $34.5 million. Then the magic caper film Now You See Me. In its debut, made $28 million, made it number two. And then, as I mentioned, After Earth. And then Epic and Star Trek Into Darkness had a tie, $16.4 million. And then Hangover Part 3, Iron Man 3, The Great Gatsby. In its debut, Yay Jawani Haidu.
Excuse me?
That's right, you heard me. Yay Jawani Haidu.
That's a movie?
That's a movie.
A movie.
It's Hey Jawani Haidu.
Okay.
Made $1.7 million. A lot of people want to see Yay Jawani Haidu.
I don't remember that one in the movie beat last week.
I don't recall it either. I don't know what it is, but
we'll
look it up.
I don't even know what that is.
We're going to do a little research, and we'll get back to you in the next hour. And then Mud. Mud rounds out the top 10. Mud.
What do you think Will Smith is thinking this morning? Do you think he's thinking,
we'll
don't
get him
put
next
my...
time.
don't put my dumb kid in movies? You
no.
Know, he's
no.
thinking maybe let somebody else come up with the ideas
nope.
for movies?
Nope. He's thinking, we'll get him next time.
Okay.
Can't wait for Jane's next starring film that I create for him. This one's going to be a... We'll teach them. We'll show them. He's going to be a star. It's going to be a blockbuster. The next film we make.
Hmm.
When he plays the Brown Hornet. Or whatever they come up for him. It's going to be good times.
Even if this one does better overseas, as most Will Smith movies do, it's got a long distance to travel to be profitable, this one.
It's almost out of reach at this point.
It's crazy that it costs $150 million to make.
Well, that's a giant science fiction epic.
Wow.
I'm sure Will Smith will say it's M. Night Shyamalan's fault.
Maybe.
Look, America really doesn't want to see Jaden Smith star in a movie. They just don't.
Yeah, but I would think they would want to see Will Smith.
But he doesn't really star in this. He's a supporting role at best in this. He's in a spaceship crash, and he talks his son through this adventure.
It?
Yeah, he's in contact with his son over the intercom, but the rest is just Jaden Smith running through the jungle.
Hmm.
So America said,
"No thanks."
If you listen closely, Friday night you hear him go. In unison. Sad news. Legendary sitcom actress Gene Stapleton passed away over the weekend. She was Edith Bunker in the classic 70s sitcom All in the Family. You remember her?
Sure.
Oh, Archie!
One of the most annoying voices ever.
Absolutely, yes. Would you stifle her? Oh, Archie! We're all glad she's dead. Let's face it.
Finally, we're on the same page.
I'm just saying. That voice. Woof. She was Fran Drescher before Fran Drescher was Fran Drescher. Amanda Bynes! I love you so much, Amanda Bynes.
She does seem to be, she's got a high output of stories that
what
we can use.
What was she doing in Buffalo, New York last week, people were wondering? Why is she in Buffalo, New York?
Buffalo.
Of course, she denied being in Buffalo, New York to a person who was filming her at the time.
In Buffalo, New York?
In Buffalo, New York. It was a guy with a cell phone cam going, Amanda, what are you doing here in Buffalo, New York? We're not in Buffalo, New York, and I don't know you. No, but seriously, what are you doing in Buffalo? We're not in Buffalo, New York.
She just thinks that she says that it's true.
She taps her heels three times. Wow. She goes back to Kansas.
Well,
but
that's
what people
weird.
Were wondering, it was weird. She was there. She was at on a trampoline. It was like a trampoline park. You go
oh,
in there
well,
and jump on trampolines.
Yeah.
And she was doing that. And, well, here's maybe why she wasn't in Manhattan. According to In Touch Weekly magazine, she was evicted from her apartment last Tuesday in Manhattan.
Really? Wow.
People who live in that building tell the New York Post that living with Amanda Bynes in the building was, and here's one of the quotes, like living with Linda Blair in The Exorcist.
Ouch.
Oh, my God.
She's going to sue them.
Apparently, while she was in residence, she screamed at one woman who lived in the apartment building that she was ugly.
She's into that.
She
really
loves that.
Into people's looks, isn't she?
She loves whether you're ugly or not. That
yeah.
is of primary importance to
Which
Amanda
Which is
Bynes.
Odd because do you think she sees herself as beautiful now? For
yeah,
real?
Oh yeah. I think
For
she
real.
Loves what she's done.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She's
what a
always
disaster.
Talking about she loves her eye job and she can't wait to get another nose job and she loves her wig.
Don't use those old photos because I look so much better now.
I'm better.
Wow.
That bitch is crazy.
She stiffed a cabbie outside the apartment building for $150. Wouldn't come out, wouldn't pay him. Everyone in the building was, in the words of one tenant, terrified of her.
Oh,
you imagine
man.
You see her coming into the lobby, you're like, oh, jeez. What are you crawling inside a potted plant, just doing anything to get away from her? Meanwhile, Lance Bass, one of her former friends from NSYNC, did a radio interview where he said he is very concerned for her. She's obviously got some mental problems. He said, I'm really scared for her. Well, she responded via Twitter.
Oh, no.
Calling him. What do you think? What do you think the first insult was?
He's ugly.
Ugly.
Ugly. You're an ugly boy band member with no talent or career. I haven't spoken to you in 11 years, and you're making me crazy. Lance clarified that they worked together on a film called Love Wrecked 7 years ago, and she was at his birthday party in 2010. So, it's been more than 11 years.
It's funny that he says she's crazy, and her comeback is, hey, you're making me crazy.
You're making me crazy. It's you. It's you, Lance Bass. That's why I have all these problems.
Plus, her default is you're ugly.
And I'm not in Buffalo. Wherever I am. Today's celebrity birthdays, guitarist Kerry King of the legendary band Slayer. 49 years old today. Actor James Purfoy, also 49. Mike Gordon of Phish, singer for that band, is 48. And newsman, bluesman Anderson Cooper celebrates his 46th birthday today. Gotta love Coop, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I like him very much.
He's the best.
Good man. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Our friend Harvey Levin, who, by the way, I don't know if we mentioned this often enough, is on our speed dial. If we're ever arrested, Harvey, we're going to call and have you be our attorney. You know that, right?
Oh, you'd be in such bad shape.
How long has it been since you've practiced?
It's been so long.
Yeah.
Well, we're just going to count on you to just to talk your way out of whatever problem we're in. That's all.
I know Chief Parker. Isn't he still the police chief?
See? There you go. Anyway, Harvey Levin joins us every Monday morning here on the Kevin Bean Show to talk about all the goings-on at TMZ.com. You got some great stories up, and we're going to get to the two homeowners association-type, eviction-type stories in a moment. But first, this Michael Douglas thing was the shocker of the weekend, Harvey. Like, we don't have enough to worry about with sexually transmitted diseases. Now we can get cancer from having sex? What's up?
Well, not all sex.
Right.
Yeah, he was pretty clear about that.
He said oral sex gave him throat cancer.
Had you ever heard of this before? I hadn't.
No. Well, actually, you know, I take it back. I had heard something about this 3 or 4 months ago. We were talking about this in the newsroom, but apparently there have been studies on this. Now, I am not a doctor. I'm barely a lawyer.
Wait a minute. You're not a doctor?
You know, so I am not going to tell you whether this is legit or not, but he's saying that, the funny part of this is he says, and this is a quote from him, it's a sexually transmitted disease that causes cancer, cunnilingus. He says, if you have it, cunnilingus is also the best way for curing it.
Ah, or making you forget about it.
Right.
So how are we supposed to look at Catherine Zeta-Jones the same way now?
Because, I don't know.
Because her vagina is poison now. That's all I can think about.
Well, what they're saying is the HPV virus is somehow what can cause this. Now, again, all I'm telling you is what he's saying.
No, I understand.
She's got the vagina of death.
Right, exactly. Well, we're going to get Dr. Drew on, believe me. We're not letting this go. We're talking to the doctor. So, all right, let's move on. I mentioned that there were two problems with where people live. The first one, I know you guys have been all over this Justin Bieber neighborhood situation, and it sounds like he's got more problems than just the police, right?
This kid, he is turning into a bad individual.
You think?
Finally, you say that. You've been defending him
for a long time.
Not really.
Lisa, you're right, but that stopped in my head 3 or 4 or 5 months ago. I mean, it really did. And I was defending him because what I thought was, you know, okay, he's just kind of entering manhood, and he wasn't doing anything really terrible. It's getting terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of driving a Ferrari 100 miles an hour in a gated community where there are kids and everybody on the street is just, it's unbelievable to me. And I don't care that he's 19 years old. People 19 understand that. And he doesn't, or he doesn't care. And so, you know, he's throwing these ridiculously loud parties. He's driving on Segways, smoking joints in the neighborhood.
Yeah, how annoying can one person possibly be? And the story you put up recently was now he says it wasn't him in the car.
Well, he's saying it wasn't him, but what it well may be, when you kind of piece together what Keyshawn and everybody else is saying, is that when he finally came back and got in his driveway, he switched seats with the passenger. That's what I think happened.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. We've seen that before. Meaning he was driving, but he talked somebody else into getting into the...
Set him up.
I got you.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, the homeowners...
That's cool of him.
It was terrible. So the homeowners, some of the homeowners in his immediate neighborhood are talking about withholding their homeowners' dues, they're paying $1,000 a month, so that it'll put pressure on the homeowners association to put the screws to this kid and do something. You know, and there's only so much they can do. And, you know, the police have two investigations going now. They're coming out all the time. It's a mess. And you know what? Even if they fine him, it's not like Justin Bieber, who's probably worth $100 million, is going to feel any impact from that. So, I don't know. He is your basic nightmare neighbor.
He is. And I was wondering about this. He owns that home that he lives in Calabasas, right?
Right.
So the Homeowners Association, what can they do? Can they force him to sell?
No, they can fine him, but there's not a whole lot they can do at this point.
Gotcha.
But, you know, this may resolve itself if he gets so reckless somebody ends up getting hurt.
All right. And last question for our friend Harvey Levin on the phone from TMZ.com is a similar story in that the neighbors in Amanda Bynes' building in New York appear to have revolted against her. They've pretty much run out of patience with her antics as well, right?
Yeah. I got to tell you, I don't know what to think of this story anymore. I have gone back and forth on Amanda Bynes trying to figure out what's going on with her.
Right.
And I really, you know, we laid off the story for a while because I felt that she was mental. I thought she had some significant mental issues, and we just didn't want to do that at that point. But now what I'm hearing is that from people who are talking to her every day is that she's really lucid. And what she's doing is not out of craziness. Now, I don't know.
Is that right?
There are other people who are telling me that this is a mental illness, and they don't know. But here's the crazy thing. You know all of those nutty things she was saying about the police setting her up and everything else?
Right, right, right.
I think this case against her is going to completely fall apart. We found out they found no marijuana in that apartment.
Right.
They never checked to see if she really did throw a bong out the window. So there's some broken glass, you know, below, but there's no way that's going to ever be admitted in court. The police didn't pick it up for 5 days. And I don't know. I mean, you think she's crazy on a level, and she is. But I don't know. I just don't know what it is, whether she's doing this consciously, whether she's got a mental illness. I can't figure it out, but it is driving her neighbors crazy, too.
Yeah, well, I can understand. Last question for you, Harvey. Do you think that was her in Buffalo, where she was claiming that it wasn't her?
So weird. She's in Buffalo. She's in Buffalo. The dude has a cell phone, and he's videotaping her, and he says, "What are you doing in Buffalo?" And she says, "We're not in Buffalo."
No, it's like who are you going to believe, me or your lion eyes?
What's happening?
Well, there's never any shortage of entertainment at TMZ.com. You should check it out multiple times a day, and check out TMZ on Fox Monday through Friday throughout the day, including TMZ Live at 4. Harvey, we appreciate your time. As always, sir, we'll talk to you next week.
We'll see you guys.
A lot of show coming up here on this Monday morning, including your chance to get on the standby boarding list for K-Rock's Festival Flyaway Destination number 3, the Reading Festival in London, England, don't you know? Plus, we're also going to give you tickets for Phoenix at the LA Memorial Sports Arena. That's coming up. And we'll talk to the Bachelorette in about 30 minutes. How did Ralph talk us into having the Bachelorette on the show?
Not sure.
What's going on with that? Guys, I saw a terrific documentary over the weekend I want to tell you about. Kevin, you know I was excited about this.
Yep.
I finally got a chance to see it this weekend. It is called Venus and Serena. And as you may have guessed, it is about the tennis-playing Williams sisters. They have a fascinating story. And I totally recommend people check it out. It is currently streaming. I saw it on iTunes. It's on demand. It is showing in limited release in theaters around the country right now. But one of the director, producers of the program, Mike and Baird, joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Mike, and welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Why on earth do you think Venus and Serena allowed you to follow them around with your cameras for a year? They certainly don't need the publicity or the fame.
Well, that's a very good question, actually. But I think what happened was we kind of knocked on their door for 3.5 years and finally met with Venus in July of 2010 and in Los Angeles, actually, and for a couple hours. And we all had the same vision. And I think she really wanted sort of a legacy piece, you know, a piece about her and Serena and how they came to be.
What was it about their story that attracted you to the point where you were willing to dedicate so much of your life to making a film about them?
It's a documentary filmmaker's dream, this story. I mean, it's incredible. It's a man from Shreveport, Louisiana, Richard Williams, living in Compton, California, divines this plan to get out of there and have these two daughters who are going to become number one and number two in the world in tennis, a place where no tennis is necessarily played. He's never really played tennis himself. It's an extraordinary story, and then they're African Americans. They break into a lily white sport from Compton to Wimbledon. I mean, it's a great story.
How did a guy who doesn't play tennis or isn't a part of it come up with that idea? Why wouldn't he send them into any other sport?
Well, the truth is that tennis for women, really, there's more money in it than any other sport.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so that's why. And that's really why he picked tennis. Otherwise, he might have picked something else.
Most kids, if their parents say, you must play tennis, you must play tennis, you must play tennis, they rebel and they say, the one thing I'm not going to do is play tennis.
Yeah, why were Venus and Serena so eager to go along with their dad's vision from a tiny, tiny little age?
Well, he's a sort of a Svengali character, as you've seen in the film, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's very convincing. He's a very clever man. He's a sort of, as they say, crazy as a fox. And somehow he convinced Venus, and then Serena wanted to be like Venus, right? So somehow he convinced them as a very tight family unit that they still are, very, very difficult to get access to any stories. So, yeah, it was amazing that they let us in, you're right. But we're glad they did, because as a result, we have a story, then a film that can show some semblance to who they are.
Yeah, the whole thing with their dad, though, is remarkable. And we were talking about this a little bit before you came on too, Mike, and that is that the dad, before the kids were born, had the vision that they were going to be the best tennis players in the world, having no idea what kind of athletic ability they would have, what kind of work ethic they would have. I mean, it really is just you would have bet anything you had against the possibility of them even getting to the pros.
Well, most people did, and even John McEnroe, when they were little, you know, he was, of course, a pro, and I spoke to him at length about this, and he said, you know, I just thought he was a joke, and so did all of us in the tennis community, Richard Williams, when he came up with this, my little girls are going to be number one and number two in the world, from Compton, California. I mean, really? But that's what's so extraordinary about this story. In fact, you know, Serena is currently, you know, the number one in the world. She's the oldest number one in the world. She won everything last year, the Olympics, Wimbledon, the U.S. Open. She's on her way to win the French right now. I mean, what can I say?
What can you say, right? Yeah. I mean, this is Michael Jordan. This is Mike Tyson at his prime. This is among the elite athletes in the world. This is the voice of documentary filmmaker Mike and Baird on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the movie that is currently available on demand called Venus and Serena. And by the way, you mentioned John McEnroe. You also have President Clinton in your film, Chris Rock, Billie Jean King. You got a lot of people talking about the girls. Let's talk about the relationship between them, because it's very rare to see people. What are they? They're in their early 30s right now,
yeah.
Right, Mike?
Yes, it's very they are. Venus is 32, Serena is 31. That's another remarkable thing about the story is the relationship between the two of them. They're 15 months apart. Venus, you know, just really protective of her little sister. John McEnroe himself says that Patrick was never going to beat him. You know, Patrick McEnroe, younger brother, was in the leagues too. And, you know, John McEnroe was never going to let his little brother beat him. But Venus, you know, being the older sister and the protector, you know, doesn't necessarily let Serena win, but, you know, I accepts and understands that her little sister is going to beat her at times, and she has, and, you know.
And they still live together.
And they still live together, and they're best friends, and, you know, they're practically married.
That is the strangest thing. I mean, their relationship just seems so genuine, like I imagine twins are sometimes. Like, there's nobody who understands what it's like to be Venus and Serena Williams more than Venus and Serena Williams. And they are their own little entity. It's kind of like them against the world, it seems like.
For sure, for sure, for sure. And they are each other's greatest friends. You know, whenever Serena, for example, has to play someone that Venus has played, she'll talk to her. Unfortunately, we weren't able to film this because they wouldn't listen on this.
Right.
Tells her how to play this person. You know, they talk to each other about everything. And then they have to be each other's greatest competitors and have in the past. It's remarkable.
Now, yeah. What is the community now that they have been in the tennis community? You know, it's something I don't really pay attention to, but yeah. They've been at the top for a while. What does the community feel about them?
Well, you know, I think they're always going to be, I mean, obviously people really respect them in the community. They've really, you know, transcended the sport, but I think that they're always going to be in their own little unit. And I think that, it's hard. They've sort of broken through, but they haven't quite, in my opinion.
Interesting. All right, we're in our remaining moments here. What's the health status of both of the girls at this point? I understand that I didn't know until your film this weekend that Venus has some sort of an autoimmune deficiency disease or something like that that has caused her some health problems. How's she doing with that?
She has. She does. Yeah. I think that she's, you know, she's working on it. She's changed her diet. She's changed her, you know, her regime. She's working on it, and hopefully she'll get better soon. I think Serena has completely turned around. I mean, when we first met her, we never thought she'd play professional tennis again. And she's now, as I said before, number one again and top of her game and top of better than she's ever been.
And they seem like they're going to be the type of athletes that are going to, they've got so much money and so many different revenue stream opportunities that they're going to be fine once they quit playing. We're not going to ever have to worry about them paying the bills, right?
Definitely not. Definitely not with the endorsements and everything else, for sure not. I wouldn't have thought.
Is their dad still around?
Oh, yeah. He's still with them. He's still on the court with them every day. I mean, and comes up every morning and says, you know, hi, Venus, I love you. And, you know, I mean, the family unit there is completely intact.
I love love my mom and my dad passed away, but I would never want to live with them when I'm in my 30s. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to live with my brothers either. I don't know. It seems odd.
I agree. It's an incredible thing, but they really are. It's real. They really are that tight, this unit, and it is very real.
Well, it's a fascinating documentary. I was excited when I saw the previews, and I'm so glad that I saw it this week. And again, it's streaming on iTunes and on demand, I think on Amazon and a bunch of other places. And you can check the website at Magnolia Pictures if you want to find out the theaters that it may be in near you. Venus and Serena is the name of the movie. Mike and Baird has been our guest. Thank you so much for the time. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
So don't open with, but you're a dumb whore?
Well, I think.
Well, she's neither.
I would like you to open with that.
She's okay. Neither dumb nor a whore, so why would you open with
that? I think Ralph is saying no, I'm saying yes.
We will be speaking to, apparently, The Bachelorette is a thing, coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock.
You know, B's like, oh, I'd like to stay current. This thing's been a massive TV hit for, I don't know, a better part of a decade. There's a show, I think. It's on the Home and Garden Network, for God's sakes.
I know it's popular, but it doesn't explain why it's popular, Ralph. That's the mystery, isn't it?
Yeah, well.
Anyway, she'll be joining us coming up in a few minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
Didn't keep it from jamming Friday Night Lights down our throat for 2 years.
It was good show.
Right, that nobody watched. This is a show people actually are watching. It's a legitimate topic of conversation.
Friday Night Lights, you had to go to a parking lot behind the bonds
and
watch
Secret Word.
Or it was on NBC.
You had to go to a Chevron, ask the guy behind the counter for the key to the restroom, and then taped to the back of the tank of the restroom would be a bootleg DVD copy. And that's how you watched
it. It was difficult to catch.
We're saying it wasn't easily available.
Some time changes throughout its career. Yes, it did. Yeah.
Hey, let's give away some tickets to something cool. How would you like to see a very special K-Rock screening of a brand new major motion picture starring Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson?
Like them.
They're back again, this time in The Internship. It's all happening at one of my favorite places in the world, the Arclight Theater in Hollywood, Thursday, June the 6th. The movie's in theaters everywhere the next day, Friday the 7th, but you'll have seen it by the time your friends are standing in line to see it at their local Cineplexes.
They don't give you much gloating time, do they?
Well, you got to see it and then just call everyone, just tweet, just send all the spoilers out to everyone you don't like.
You have like 20 hours.
Vince and Owen play two guys who have just lost their jobs, and now they have to try to get hired in this difficult economy for guys in their 40s who are trying to get back to work. And so they decide they're going to work at Google. They just make up their mind to do that. That looks like a great place to work. I heard really cool things about working there. Let's go.
And doesn't Google get, like, I don't know, 10,000 applications a week for people who want to work there?
Yes, but they do have a coveted internship program at Google. This is based on a true story. So this is about Vince and Owen trying to get their old asses into the internship program against all these much younger, smarter guys that they have to compete
with. Vince Vaughn, for me, is like Will Ferrell. You put him in any situation, and I'm interested just to see him.
I agree. And these two are always great together. So if you'd like to check out The Internship, call now, 1-800-520-1067. Call Intern Chip. She'll be answering the phones and tell her you want to see Internship.
No, but you have to say Intern Chip.
See what I've done?
See
there?
What you have did to say there? It that way. Yeah. That's right.
First five callers get a pair of passes to see Internship Thursday, June the 6th. All right, while we're talking about movies, here are your top 10. Over the weekend, Fast and Furious 6, number one again this weekend with $34.5 million.
Again, let's remind ourselves, on a normal week, that's a great opening for first weekend.
It is. Very strong. Then the big surprise was Now You See Me. The smaller magic caper film starring Jesse Eisenberg did very well for itself. Over $28 million, made it number two.
I like that.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
I like that movie.
Very entertaining.
I love Isla Fisher.
I do, too. She's adorable.
Makes me upset that I made her angry last week when we
talked
to her.
You did.
You did her feelings.
I missed that interview.
She said she always loves magic. And I was like, whoa, you don't always love magic, because I was thinking of the David Blaines and those types of people.
Right.
And I think she got upset at me. I blew it.
That's what happens when I'm not around.
And I love her, but I blew it. Good movie, though.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo's great in it. Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, great cast. $28 million was the surprise hit of the weekend. Then the surprise failure of the weekend, After Earth, all the money they pumped into that Smith & Smith project, only made $27 million. It was number three at the box office. Epic and Star Trek Into Darkness tied for fourth. Hangover Part 3 was sixth. Iron Man 3 was seventh. The Great Gatsby, Yay Juwani, Hi Duwani.
Did you do some research?
Was ninth. Yes, this is apparently an Indian Bollywood film.
Okay.
Idiosyncratic, character-driven, but also has ties to traditional Bollywood films. Ye Jawani Hai Diwani made over $1.7 million, making it number 9 at the box office, and then Mud rounding out the top 10. So there you go. There's your Hey Jawani Ye Jawani. Which sounds like a strain that Kevin Smith would be smoking at some
yes, it
point.
Does.
That's all I know about it. Sad news for Doctor Who fans like myself. Matt Smith is leaving the program, Doctor Aww. Who. Matt Smith, of course, stars as the Doctor in that same said program. He has been the Doctor for 4 years now.
But he's also doing the radio show with Petros.
That so is a, that's a different Matt.
Him.
That's
what?
Matt Money Smith. This is Matt Doctor Who Smith.
Oh.
He will be in November's much-anticipated 50th anniversary episode. Then, of course, he will return for their annual Christmas special, which is when they always make the handoff from one Doctor to another. And during that Christmas special, he will die and then regenerate into a brand new Doctor, the 12th Doctor.
But that means his companion will
go
be
on.
Gone too?
No, his companion will go on. That's
oh,
what
that's
happens.
Good.
The
I
companion
like her.
Is usually the bridge from one performer to another. For example, Matt Smith had. Oh no! They rebooted. They rebooted companions with him as
what
well.
What the
when he
hell?
Started. He started with. Amy Pond, Karen Gillian, of course.
What so, the hell?
Jen Louise will be continuing on as the companion, so that's good news.
Why is he leaving, though? This seems like a dream role for a British actor.
It is the nature of the show. They
So it may not be his choice?
They rotate actors through. No, I believe they would have let him stay if he wanted to, but I think he thought 4 years. He did pretty much as much as he could with the role, and he's decided to move on.
What the hell?
Kevin, you don't know, man. You just
don't.
I'm new to it, but I really like it.
Yeah, it's a great show and has been for 50 years.
I'm not saying it's bad.
So why don't you wake up?
I'm just saying.
What the hell?
You are saying, in your defense, you are saying what the hell.
That's all
you
I'm
don't
saying.
Know, man, because you weren't there.
That's right. You weren't there in the TARDIS with the rest of us.
That's true.
Larger on the inside, Kevin.
I don't know what that means.
The TARDIS is bigger on the inside.
Okay.
You don't get it, man.
I don't.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kerry King of Slayer is 49 years old today, as is actor James Purefoy. Mike Gordon, singer for Fish, is 48, and newsman Anderson Cooper celebrates his 46th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I think you're right, Ralph. I don't think that's bachelorette music at all.
No, not at all. It's not sweet and romantic like Desiree.
That's going to make Desiree cry. You know how she cries. She's going to cry when she hears that mean man yelling at her on that song. Desiree Hartsock is The Bachelorette, Monday nights on ABC at 8, episode number 2 of the new season tonight. Hi, Desiree. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Desiree, I have to tell you, this is Ralph here. I'm a huge fan of the show, and I think, and many of my friends agree with me, that you might be the most charming and lovely of all the bachelorettes.
Oh, thank you so much.
But that being said, we think you got dealt the worst hand ever when it comes to the bachelors they hooked you up with.
You'll have to give them a chance. Give them
no.
Give
no.
Them a couple more weeks.
No, but as you were
What's
standing there,
it,
and as the limos were pulling up, and douche after douche kept getting out of the limo, didn't you think, why me? Why aren't they giving me a better batch of men to choose from?
It's so overwhelming. It was just a whole blur of, like, man soup. I couldn't tell one from the other.
Ralph, tell us what the problem is with a few of them.
Well, the first,
recap a few of them.
There's a bunch of them. I mean, the guy who's the magician slash tailor, I mean, he had no business being there, right?
That's not a thing.
That's not a thing, and he was sort of a loser. And everyone knew right away he was a loser. You sent him home the first night. You knew he was a loser.
I did send him home. He wasn't for me.
He's not for anyone.
He wasn't for anyone.
He's a magician slash tailor.
Can he make your clothes fit just by waving his hand? That'd be pretty cool.
And then you had the guy in the suit of armor and the guy who had no shirt on. You must have thought, they must be punking me. This is a bad batch of men to choose from.
Yeah, a few of them I was like, are you serious right now? I was giving them the benefit of the doubt because I know how like nerve-wracking that first night is.
Sure,
and they're just trying to, like, I don't know. One up each other.
Sure. Well, you've been through it before as a contestant. You have stood where they stood. And I wanted to ask you about this, Desiree. So you really did for reals fall for Sean. Like, you thought you guys could end up together and you would marry him and you would live happily ever after, right?
For reals, I did fall for Sean.
Okay. So yes. Once that busts up, what gives you the strength and the courage to go to be the Bachelorette and potentially go through that again?
Well, because I knew that it can work and your feelings are real. And I don't know. I mean, just like any other relationship that doesn't work, you can move on and know that you can find someone new.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. If you've been through the process and you've gotten that close to finding something that you felt was real, I guess you think, well, this is as good a way to try to find someone as any.
I think so. I think it's one of the, you know, better ways to. I mean, people are online dating, and it's pretty much the same thing, just watching it on TV.
But correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like meeting somebody on TV puts an extra, like everybody's trying to show off, everybody wants to look good on camera. It just kind of throws in an extra level of fake.
I guess it puts in an extra level of pressure, but conversation is real and like feelings are real, so that's all that really matters.
Yeah, I've seen bars and clubs in Los Angeles where everyone is trying to put on something fake and look better than everyone else too. So I don't think it's any different, really.
And you don't get somebody to pay for an awesome place to live and an awesome car to drive and an awesome date to go on either if you do it the other way, right?
Exactly. So
Desiree's in a mansion now, rocking a Bentley. That's not a bad way to spend a couple weeks,
right? Now, Desiree, what did you think of back before you were part of the Bachelor world, before you made it onto the TV? What did you used to think about the girls that when you used to watch this show just as a fan?
You know, I actually didn't really watch the show much, but I guess I would say I didn't have the best impressions of, you know, the girls or how they were acting or anything like that. But after being in it, I have a different...
I am so shocked that you didn't watch that show. Aren't you a bridal stylist? Like, isn't weddings your whole world?
Yeah, I love bridal. I love weddings. But, I'm not much of a reality TV buff or...
Well, you're a good choice then.
Do you find it easier the second time around, having been through the process, in order to sort of ignore the cameras and all the stuff that goes around being on The Bachelor and just kind of focus more on the people?
Oh, definitely. I mean, even on The Bachelor, I didn't really care about the cameras. I kind of just was myself, and I think that was just easy for me to adapt this time around as well.
You get a feeling. Most women, when they go out on a date, get a feeling within 10 to 15 seconds, I think. This is not going to work, or this is going to work. Do you get a feeling about any of the guys immediately?
You definitely get some feelings, whether they're good or bad. But I think in this situation, you still have more of an open mind.
Except for the guy who tried to give you his hotel room key and wanted to have sex with you during the cocktail party, right?
Oh, yeah, that's just disgusting.
Yeah, he was out. He was out automatically.
He was a creeper. We could all agree he was a creeper. Yeah. This is the voice of Desiree Hartson. On the Kevin and Bean Show, she is the Bachelorette, which airs Monday nights on ABC. A couple more quick questions for you. Do they give you any, and I don't mean this in a creepy way at all, but this is a serious question.
Oh, no.
Do
they give you, what kinds of guidelines do they give you about what you're not allowed to do physically with guys on the dates? When you're dating 20 guys at one time, what is it they tell you? What are the rules of what you're allowed to do and not do, Desiree?
There's no rules. I mean, you're on camera the entire time, so I guess anything you wouldn't do in front of a camera, you wouldn't do on TV, but...
Gotcha.
All right, easy with that music.
What's that? And how much, I know that, you know, you filmed a lot of the season, obviously, that we haven't seen. Do these guys get super jealous and competitive with each other because they really, really want you bad? And does that ever lead to fights?
You know, they're a dramatic group of guys, but in a good way. They stand up for themselves, and that, you know, those personalities kind of differ, but that causes some drama.
Now, Desiree, I have to say that a lot of us believe that it may have been your brother who sort of screwed things up with you and Sean last season. This time around, there's going to be dates towards the end, I'm sure, where you have to introduce your new fellas to your brother again. Any new rules for the brother and his behavior regarding these gentlemen?
My brother will be on the show, but before going on to the show, I did talk to him, of course.
Okay.
He's actually very supportive, so it's nice because I think it's, you know, my own decisions, and he trusts me.
Okay.
So that helps.
Because he was rough on Sean last year.
He was.
Ralph, did they get rid of hashtag loser on week one? Is he gone already?
Hashtag's still around, isn't he, Desiree?
Yeah, hashtag still living on.
Okay. Yeah, hashtag not for long.
He stopped using hashtag.
Oh, he did? Oh, good.
Came to his senses.
Someone pulled him aside and said, stop doing that. It's really annoying.
All right. Well, listen, Ralph, I know you have to go call all of your girlfriends and brag that you got a chance to talk to Desiree. I know you and your vagina are very happy right now.
How dare you, sir?
Desiree, you seem like a very nice woman. We appreciate your time. Congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you.
I hope you find true love on TV.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Bye, Des.
Bye-bye, Al.
Thank you.
I don't think I get that at all.
She's adorable.
She is, but that's a bad
show. Sure, she's fine. She seems nice.
Sure.
But still.
But that's a bad show.
Why is it a bad show?
It's just because, come on.
My point is, come on.
Having watched as many episodes as you have, Kevin, I can see you have a legitimate.
But Kevin's defense. Whoops.
Sorry, Bean, what?
In Kevin's defense, come on.
Come on is my point.
You didn't answer that.
I have no answer.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. And this week your choices are Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah!
Hey, everybody, welcome to Chloe or Snooki, the game where you try to decide which celebrity said the following tweet. I'll read them out, and you kids keep track home at score what? Keep track at home and keep score, and see if you can beat Kevin and Lisa and Bean. As they
so
make their
no
choices.
One, no one wins anything. We're just playing for pride here. We try to decide. Right. Ralph reads the tweet. We try to decide whether Chloe tweeted it or Snooki tweeted it. I feel like we haven't heard much from Snooki. She's been awfully quiet in a while.
Dude, this batch will be the toughest you've ever faced.
Okay, really?
My prediction. No. Yes,
I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Yeah. You ready?
Yep.
Yes.
I will say the tweet. You identify. Did it come? Did it spring forth from the fertile mind of Chloe or Snooki?
Here
we
Understood.
Go. Here we go. You ready?
Yes. Yeah. I think you've explained it enough.
Read a tweet.
Does anyone else miss Vanilla Ice? Hashtag ice baby. Does anyone else miss Vanilla Ice? Hashtag ice baby.
Snooki.
You're saying Snooki, Kevin, all right? Lisa May?
I was thinking Snooki as well.
Snooki as well. Bean?
I am going to say Chloe, and my reasoning is that I think Snooki's a little bit too young to know much or care much about Vanilla Ice. I think Chloe's older, so I say Chloe.
All right. Chloe it is. That is a Chloe tweet.
Bean takes the lead.
All right. I wish I could sing like Alanis Morissette. I wish I could sing like Alanis Morissette. She had a musical theme early on in the competition.
For the exact same reason, I'll say Chloe again.
Because of Alanis Morissette's.
I wish I could sing like Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Bean on that one.
I'm going
to
have to go with Snooki.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
The Snooks.
Because I don't think Chloe has any interest in singing.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Maybe. But you thought Snooki did?
I don't know. All right, I have one. Bean has one. Lisa has zero.
I'm zero.
Tabloids never get the story right if only they knew the real deal. Tabloids never get the story right if only they knew the real deal.
It could so be either one.
I'm going to go Chloe. Just
I'm going to say Chloe as well. I think she's
more in the...
Yeah, I think she's more tabloid worthy these days than Snooki is.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Chloe as well.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Snooki! Snooker.
All of us were wrong.
I'm guessing that has to do with her meeting with Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. That was them. That was all in the tabloids. Very, very.
By the way,
story.
I think it's worth mentioning. Snooki has lost 80% of her body weight. Have you guys seen what that looks like?
She's
lately?
A bobblehead now.
Really?
It's crazy how tiny she is.
Still bright orange though. Do we still have that? No,
not really.
All right.
I mean, she's not pretty by any stretch of the imagination, but she's not a freak show anymore either.
I hope I dream of being a mermaid, not the alien mermaid, the Ariel mermaid.
Jesus.
Wow.
Someone tweeted that. I hope I dream of being a mermaid, not the alien mermaid, the Ariel mermaid.
The alien mermaid.
I'm not familiar
with
that.
I'm going to go with Chloe.
I'll tell you why. I don't think Snooki could put words together like that.
That's a good point.
I'm going to go with Chloe.
Just based on literacy, you think it's Chloe? Yep. I'm going to go the other way and just say I'm going to say Snooki.
I was going to say Snooki.
If one thing leads to another, Snooki! I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Finally, a Snooki. Point.
Bean has two. Lisa and I are tied with one.
I want a zig a zig ah. I want a zig a zig ah.
What the hell is that?
I want a zig a zig ah.
Well, if Snooki's that small, I'm going Chloe.
That's not I don't even know what that is, guys. Am I stupid? What's a zig-a-zig-a?
I want a zig-a-zig-a.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Familiar with the Spice Girls at all? Tell me what you want, what I really, really want. I want to zig a zig. Ah.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have put
the lyric
those
from that
together.
Song.
Okay. Jesus. I don't know.
Lisa, answer!
You pick, Lisa.
I picked Chloe.
You gave up a kidney easier than it was getting an answer out of you for
I'll
that
I'll say
one
Chloe
question.
Also that. I have no feeling for this one at all.
Kevin?
I already said.
Chloe.
Oh, this is a tough batch.
Lisa has three. Lisa has two. I have one.
All right. I have no self-control when it comes to hot tamales. What is wrong with me? Yummy.
That sounds like a Snooki.
I have no self-control when it comes to hot tamales. What is wrong with me? Yummy.
I will say Snooki, and my reasoning is that Chloe is conscious of everybody saying she's fat, so she would not tweet about food. So I'm going to say Snooki.
I'm going to go with Chloe.
Please?
I already said.
She already answered. Pay attention.
Thank you.
Chloe, it is.
We need the guy on the button to pay attention.
No doubt.
What show is he listening to?
I have no idea.
All right, what's the score? It seems like we should be tied up now, right?
He has three. Lisa and I have two.
Okay.
Why do people think they know what they're talking about because they heard it? You weren't there. You don't know.
What?
Why do people think they know what they're talking about because they heard it? You weren't there. You don't know.
I'll say Snooki.
I'm staying with Chloe.
I'm going to go with Chloe as well.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Bean for the win.
Well done,
I guess we're done?
Wow. Sounds like it. I didn't know either.
What? I'm just looking at the clock. I thought we were pretty much out of time.
All right. I wish we had known. We were coming down to the...
It would have been more exciting.
Yeah,
it would have been
more exciting. Those last couple of questions.
Usually they let you know if it's the last minute of the third period just to give the crowd a chance to get excited about it.
We don't work that way.
No, we don't.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing. Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah.
It's a new week. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. New giveaway, too. This time, K-Rock Festival Flyaway Destination number 3, Reading Festival. That's one of the biggest. In London, England, Green Day, System of a Down, Eminem, Imagine Dragons, Phoenix. 9:10 this morning, we give you a chance to qualify. Last week, you may have heard there were about 1,000 suicides in Southern California from screenwriters. Men and women who work hard behind the keyboard every single day trying to hammer out a script for a TV show or movie that somebody will look at in this town. Unfortunately, none of those people are going to survive to see the Grumpy Cat movie that is now in production. Because Grumpy Cat, you guys, is going to have a movie.
Now, Grumpy Cat, forgive me for not knowing all of the history, is just a photo of a cat that looks unhappy, right?
Well, it's a real cat.
Yeah.
It's a cat who lives in Arizona.
Right.
And I guess somehow a picture of this cat with a grumpy face ended up on the internet and became one of the most popular memes of all time. And now whatever's going on in the news or in the world or with celebrities, Grumpy Cat has his photo there just being grumpy about it, just not caring about it.
And they're making a movie.
I'm afraid so, yes.
Out of a photo.
Now, if the rumors from last week are to be believed, Will Ferrell and Jack Black are already attached to the Grumpy Cat movie.
No way.
That's not possible.
The Grumpy Cat has been on TV shows like The Today Show, Good Morning America, Anderson Cooper Live, CBS Evening News, The Soup. There's official Grumpy Cat merchandise. The Grumpy Cat does personal appearances.
What's
the Grumpy Cat
happening?
Has an agent and a book deal. He's just a cat with a grumpy face. That's all that's going on here.
But he can write a hell of a book.
We wanted to find out more about it, so we asked producer Dave if you could line up the Grumpy Cat for us. And I believe Grumpy Cat is on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Grumpy Cat.
What?
Can we just call you Grumpy?
Whatever.
All right.
Grumpy Cat, there's going to be a movie.
Grumpy Cat, what?
There's going to be a Grumpy Cat movie?
That's right, yes. There's going to be a Grumpy Cat movie, yes.
But
anything else?
What's it going to be?
Are we done?
Well, what's it going to be about?
About me, Grumpy Cat.
Right.
Yes.
Doing what?
Oh, the things I do. Like being in New York this weekend selling my Grumpy Cat book. Hello.
Okay.
Why don't you eat my hairballs?
Is your book an autobiography?
Yes, it's about being grumpy.
But that's fascinating.
But how is that a movie?
Yeah. Why don't we compare bank statements? You can lick my litter box, all right?
Yeah. Grumpy Cat is doing pretty well for himself.
Why are you still grumpy then?
Grumpy Cat is.
There is official Grumpy Cat merchandise sold at Walmart, Hot Topic, Think Geek, and many other retail stores. What kind of stuff
right.
do you sell?
Where's your
Grumpy
merchandise
Cat?
Sold?
Well, I don't have. There's no merchandise.
Oh! I'm gonna poop in your shoe.
Why, if things are going so well for you, if you're so beloved and so famous and so rich, why are you so grumpy?
Because money can't buy you happiness.
No, true.
but it can buy you dogs that you can then kill.
Wow. Oh, wow. That turned south fast.
I like that. Killing dogs.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Yeah,
nobody
I
wants
do.
To.
Yeah.
No.
Turnabout's fair play, bitches.
Wow. You were named the most influential cat of 2012 by MSNBC.
Yeah, that's right. I was.
What are
you,
they
what
doing?
Were you named? What were you named? No name DJs nobody's ever heard of 2013?
Yeah. Wow. You're awfully grumpy.
What?
Duwani Hai New Duwani.
Sure.
Indian film, $1.7 million, and then Mud was 10th. In TV news, interesting list from the folks at the WGA. You familiar with WGA? That's the Writers Guild of America. They write your movies and your TV shows. I wonder if they're going to write the Grumpy Cat film. I wonder if someone from the WGA will be writing Grumpy Cat.
I would have thought the Grumpy Cat would have been happier with all the good news that's coming his way, but boy, he sure didn't sound that.
Yeah, you know why? Grumpy Cat's a girl, too. That's why a lot of people are
saying
Grumpy Cat was upset.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Because it's a girl.
You people that are correcting us,
yeah.
Die.
Yeah. If you're, first of all, if you know that and then you insist on it being correct, go ahead and kill yourself. Because we're done with you as a society. Those who care about the gender of Grumpy Cat.
One girl tweeted, you should do your research.
Do your research, yeah. You should do some research of your own down here in my pants. Writers Guild of American TV Guide have put together their list of the top best written shows of all time. Best written TV shows in history.
Oh, interesting.
Writers Guild of America and TV Guide. Here is your top 20. Let's go through the top 20.
All right.
Let's cut it to the top 10. We don't have much time. Let's say the top 10.
West Wing.
Number 10. Number 10 on the list.
No, I'm
is the
saying
West
it's number 1. That's no, my
I'm
guess
saying
for number...
I'm saying West Wing is number 10 on the list.
I know, but I'm guessing that it's number 1.
What's wrong with him?
By the way, if the West Wing is number 10, we're to believe there are 9 shows in the history of television better written than that?
Yes.
Breaking Bad.
Mash.
Breaking Bad, 13 on the list. 13, just under the top 10.
Radar. Jersey Shore.
Mad
Men. Jersey Shore did not show up in the top 20, I can
Dexter.
Happily say. Dexter not in the top 20.
Come on. See, that makes sense, though, Kevin. I mean, that's not the type of show you think of as the writing. That's the acting and the storyline.
We're talking about
the
history, by the way.
Yeah.
I think, by the way, Dexter's pretty damn well written.
I do, too.
Yeah, I would disagree with that, but it's not in the top 20. Because it is
Lisa said
in history. In history. Mad Men, 7th on the list. And I think, rightly so. Any other guesses for top 10?
Seinfeld,
number 2,
ooh,
Kevin. Number
nice.
2.
Nice.
Well done. Only one show better written, according to the Writers Guild of America and TV Guide, in their opinions. Mm. Keep in mind, it's just their opinions.
Ridiculousness.
All right. Now you're just cracking wise. I don't appreciate it.
Tell me.
Number 9 was The Wire on HBO.
Oh, sure. The Wire was great.
The Wire.
Of course, yeah.
Brilliantly written. Cheers. When it comes to well-written sitcoms, you'd be hard-pressed to find one better than Cheers.
Never saw one episode of that.
I'm sorry. Now, what happened?
Not a single episode.
You've never seen an episode of Cheers.
I have not. I just had no interest.
How do you avoid it?
I don't know. I don't know.
You should be beaten with a Grumpy Cat fan.
Let's keep moving.
I saw the finale. That was the only one I saw.
Oh,
so
sweet
between
Lord
us,
in
we've
heaven.
Seen, we've seen one episode.
Mad Men, as I mentioned, was 7. The Mary Tyler Moore Show, another brilliantly crafted comedy. 6 on the list. MASH was 5th. Did you say MASH?
She did, yeah.
We often ignore you, Lisa. I'm
sorry. I know. I said it 3 times.
We ignore you a lot.
Girls don't get a vote. Come on.
All in the Family, 4th. How
ironic.
Gene Stapleton, either from that show, just passed away this weekend. Number 3, and this makes sense, but it's kind of unfair because they had so many different writers working for them over the course of the life of the series, The Twilight Zone. But it's famously known for its ingenious writing. And
that show has held up,
too. Like that. It really is strong.
Still great.
Seinfeld, as we mentioned, was number 2 on the list. And the number 1, according to the Writers Guild of America and TV Guide, best written TV shows in history. Any guesses before I give it away?
Need to start the drum roll again. I know that.
Number 1.
Yes.
Best written TV show in history. Any guesses?
No, just do it.
Nothing's coming to mind.
Listen, Lisa, so impatient.
She is angry.
Number 1, best
written
show
in history.
In history.
Say
this show of all the TV shows in history,
what
according to the Writers Guild of America and TV Guide,
is called?
They think this show is the best
and the
written.
The name is?
The Sopranos. The Sopranos.
Ah, the Sopranos.
The Sopranos. Any other guesses?
No.
Okay.
West Wing.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Anderson Cooper of CNN fame turns 46 years old today. Singer Mike Gordon of Fish is 48. James Purefoy, Very talented actor, is 49 years old today. Kerry King, one of the co-creators, founders of Slayer, guitarist for that band, 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Stand by, Jaden. So, Will Smith had a very successful rap career and an even bigger movie career, and I think we all agree he's enormously charming and talented and is terrific at both, right?
Yeah. And successful, yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that Jaden Smith gets all those same abilities,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes. Yes, it does. Love me, love my son.
Yeah, they're trying to make it seem like Jaden is the next big thing in both worlds, and America has already soundly rejected Jaden Smith in this After Earth movie this weekend, and I don't think we care much for his rapping either.
Nope.
His rapping is the best.
These are kids who are being forced into the same careers that their parents had, and it shouldn't come as a surprise from Will and Jada Pinkett Smith,
yeah,
who named their kids after themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
With
right.
Jaden of Jada and Willow from Will, that right. they're trying to force them to become carbon copies of their own.
And their dad, Will Smith, is hugely successful and does spend a lot of time rapping about how successful he is.
Yes.
However, it's a little annoying when 14-year-old Jaden starts rapping about how successful he
is. He's got all the money.
And how rich he is.
Yeah, the guys love me.
Ralph's doing that. I'll play a little taste of this, and you can find him at krock.com, kevinandbean.com. We put up both of these videos. There's two videos that we have by Jaden Smith. We'll get to the coolest in just a second, but this is to Pumped Up Kicks, Jaden Smith.
Yo, hey, Spitfire can't jog my heat. Hit my Spitfires, knock the street, yo. TikTok can't stop my feet. Hear real G rock the beat, had a fun time last night. Got girls here, that's right. Could've chilled if you whack right. Fell asleep on my half pipe, yeah. Got school, but we coolin', ayy. Let the cool kids do this, and the flows be too sick. So cool, you drooling.
What? That's his thing.
How out of breath is he? How much breath does it take to spit those lame ass rhymes?
Now, is he terrible?
CF?
He's Bob Dylan.
Is he, like, when I hear that, to me, he just sounds average. That just sounds
average.
No,
he's
to me.
He's worse than average.
You know
he's
what it is?
Really
he's
bad.
Worse than average homeboy.
No, you know what it is? I don't think he's a terrible rapper. It's the ridiculous condescension that he's so much better than everybody that drives
me
crazy.
Got all the girls here.
Yeah.
Gonna go get the money.
He talks about having all the money and stuff. You go, whoa.
Skateboard.
Yup, I does it. This my city right here. I run it. Pass me a deck, quick, pop, shove it. Girls be saying that I'm with them, but I wasn't. Cause everybody want kicks like me. Everybody want chicks like me.
Everybody want kicks like me. Everybody want chicks like me.
It's his city. Yeah. He runs it.
Everybody want flicks like me. Everybody trying to get like me.
Everybody wants flicks like me. Not after this weekend, Jaden. They don't. They would like to have successful flicks.
All right, the coolest. The coolest is my favorite because
he's the coolest.
He is the coolest.
Coolest of the coolest. Smoothest of the smoothest.
Let's be honest.
Richest of the richest.
Again, you can find these videos at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. Click on Kevin and Bean. So this is the coolest.
It's the coolest of the coolest. It's the smoothest of the smoothest. It's the crudest and the rudest of the stupid kids. Mr. Vicious with his missus blowing kisses to his mistress and his missus blowing riches like some hooligans. I wasn't tripping, I just listen to these women when they sipping on them juices. They say Jaden, yeah, he's too legit. And I be flipping cause they slipping and they dipping in the pool. They say I'm pooling, they be drooling cause I'm super rich.
They're drooling because I'm super rich.
They're drooling because I'm super rich.
He has earned all his money. Think about it, though. Look at all the hard work he did to become as rich as... Oh, wait a minute. He just was... The right sperm met the right egg. That's
the women at the pool are saying that he's the coolest.
They're drooling because he's the richest.
Do you guys think that anyone has ever accused 14-year-old Jaden Smith of being too legit?
Yes.
No.
He is. He's the coolest of the coolest.
I don't believe anyone has said that.
He did wear an Iron Man costume on a date last week.
I be tripping, but I'm living how I'm living. I'm 14, I'll be forgiven, so forget it, bro. I'm moving in. I don't care how you be getting all offended, because I'm taking older women. Well, I'm sorry, bro. I do it big.
I'm sorry if you're offended that I'm taking older women.
He's taking all the women, man. Taking all the older women. What are we going to do?
He's 14. I think we're cool. People are good with the number of women that he gets.
There's been a long history of rappers.
He's got asthma.
We need to have him talk to Bob Dylan. That's what we need.
That would be funny.
I'm sorry.
You know, there's a long history, long tradition of rappers who brag. I mean, that's one of the main topics of how awesome I am. But it just when you're 14, it just sounds ridiculous.
And it's all been handed to you.
And when you're 14 and you're born into a billion-dollar family.
Right. And then you're talking about all the women you're getting. I'm pretty comfortable with the fact that there are plenty of women for other people out there. I don't think Jaden's got the corner on the market there.
So just listen when I'm spitting. It's the realest that you get in all these writings if you messing with these stupid kids. But if you isn't, then forget it, because I didn't mean to push you. If you want it and you need it, girl, then come and get it.
It's the coolest.
So he says, come and get it.
This song is putting me to sleep.
I know.
Come and get it.
Yeah. And the girl is in the hood, in the hood of the hand.
I'm the leader of the leaders on the leaderboards. We be winning when I'm spitting, I don't need a score. I just eat you like a cheetah and it's getting boring. Spitting bars, check the blogs if you need some more.
I don't need any more, Jaden.
It's getting boring.
I won't check the blogs because I don't need any more of you. Born on third base thinking you hit a triple.
How is that song so popular
so
long afterwards?
Great question.
It's a bizarre song. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 21 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Monday morning Kevin Amin Show. Hey, by the way, since we have a minute here, did we ever congratulate the person who won the thing?
The person who won the thing is Pete Salceda from Downey.
Okay.
Pete, congratulations. You are going to the Rock Werchter Festival in Brussels, Belgium to see Phoenix, Depeche Mode, Green Day, and more. You are the grand prize winner. We gave away gave people the chance to qualify all last week. We got a new competition for you this week, and that is destination number 3 of the K-Rock Festival Flyaway, which is the Reading Festival in London, Green Day, System of a Down, Eminem, Lumineers, Imagine Dragons, Phoenix, and more. And we've got a chance for you to qualify for that less than 1 hour from right now on the Kevin Mead Show. See, people really do win these things. We don't just say it. It actually happens.
Here is the first sentence of this article that I would like to read. It is a professional baseball player. Arizona right-hander Ian Kennedy will miss the next start after cutting his right index finger while doing the dishes this week.
Yay!
Professional pitcher, major leagues, missing a start because he cut his finger doing dishes.
It's so funny. We hear all the time about the things that professional athletes aren't allowed to do. I mean, if you're playing for, you know, the Clippers or something, you're not allowed to, you know, maybe go out there and race motorcycles or jump out of airplanes or something like that. They're trying to protect their investment as much as they can. You can't stop a guy from doing the dishes, though. If somebody's going to get hurt doing the dishes, nothing you can do about that.
But I'd also like to say that you're never going to see a hockey player or a basketball player or a football player get hurt doing the dishes. It's mainly just because baseball players are pussies.
Well, now, hold on a second.
Right?
Hockey players don't have to use their hands for anything.
But they get cut up and they get 13 stitches. They go right back in.
They go,
right, but they don't have to use their hands. What are you, crazy? They hold a stick.
They hold a stick, which you can totally hold without having to, like, control the accuracy of throwing a baseball. If you have a baseball in your hand and you've got a big cut on your finger, you're not going to be able to throw that ball.
What a wuss. I'm just saying it must be embarrassing. I mean,
At
some point he cut his finger and he knew he was supposed to start in a couple days. And he had to call someone, the manager probably,
right,
and say, "I, you know that thing about where I'm supposed to pitch?
Right.
Yeah, I was doing the dishes and I got a little cut."
I love this. He will never have to do the dishes again.
That's true.
That sucks.
I just want to know if he's a professional athlete, why he doesn't have a woman who could do the dishes for him. That's what I want to know.
Wow. Bean at krock.com if you'd like.
I'm just saying.
Complain.
Kevin, and by the way, we do want to take your calls on the dumbest thing you ever did that got you injured. The smallest thing that you can't believe resulted in actual injury. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. You throw up the hockey players as being the toughest of the tough. Don't you have a certain player on the Los Angeles Kings who maybe might have gotten injured eating pancakes?
What?
Yeah,
what
well,
happened?
His nickname is Pancakes, yeah. Yeah, Dustin Penner.
How did he get injured?
No one knows. But again, that phone call had to be really rough because you got to call somebody and say, you know, I hurt my back and how'd
he
you do
hurt
it?
His back eating pancakes.
I don't even remember. I think so. it was with eating pancakes. I mean, that's an embarrassing call to make.
Yeah. It is. It totally is. All right. So we want to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. What were you doing when you got injured? It's not a macho story. It's not you really should make up something. You should never tell the real story of how it happened. Beer Mug, I think you're going to get us started here. You had exactly the kind of story we're we're talking about.
I had to get 8 stitches in my toe after dropping a Snapple bottle on my open toe while trying to simultaneously open a bag of trail mix.
Wow, what a surprise. It involves trying to cram as much food as possible down his gullet.
That story has everything.
Did the Snapple bottle break on your toe and cut it?
On impact. And I didn't realize it until I was like, oh, I just broke my Oh, my God, my toe is gushing blood.
But then you finished your chips.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Bean, you remember when you were sitting on the chair and you hurt your finger? Remember that?
Yeah, well, yeah, I caught my finger in the chair, yeah.
And then sat on it, and I've never heard a man scream like that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was so painful.
Never heard that noise come out of any human being.
Didn't I, if I didn't pass out, I came very close to passing out, from the pain of that?
Oh, my God.
That was pretty brutal.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. I mean, look, sometimes the simplest thing, I mean, you're getting out of your car and you hit your head on the roof of your car or, you know, walking through a door or something like that. I mean, it's so easy to accidentally do something that can really, really hurt. You just never, ever expect it.
I was leading running in place for my high school football team, running in place, and I twisted my ankle. Running in place.
That's
fell down.
Right. The whole team thought I was kidding.
Let's squeeze in a couple calls before the break, then we'll come back with more. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Stephanie. Stephanie is on line 2, and she joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Stephanie. What happened?
Hi. So I was in high school, and I had to take the PSATs, and I overslept, and my alarm went off, and I jumped out of bed, and I fell. And I tried to get up again, and I fell again, and I started crying and screaming at my parents and saying, I'm paralyzed, I'm paralyzed.
I'm paralyzed? Why were you saying that?
Well, because I couldn't stand up, so I thought I was paralyzed.
And what ended up happening? What was wrong with you?
Well, they came running in, and my big toe on my left foot was bent.
Ouch, broken.
Yeah, well, we didn't know. So they took me to the hospital, and they thought it was dislocated.
Yeah.
So they were going to pull it, and they had to give me a shot to numb me. And I told them, no, I won't take a shot. So I protested so much that the next doctor came on shift and said, no, her toe's broken. They took me into surgery. My toe was shattered.
Oh, my gosh.
They had to put 3 pins in it.
Oh, just getting out of bed?
Yeah.
Do you know what you kicked?
No, I don't know what I kicked. I don't know if it was the floor, the bedpost, or what.
Huh.
And the best part is that because of the nature of the injury, it was so fragile, they had to put a cast up to my knee.
All right. Love it.
And I was in a wheelchair because I wasn't allowed to be on crutches because any pressure could shatter it again.
Wow. What some people do to get out of a test, you know?
No kidding. So 1 minute you're laying in bed, the next minute you're standing up or not, and just change the next 6 months of your life. That's incredible.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then can you imagine having to tell everybody, I've got a cast up to my knee, and then I have to say, oh, yeah, no, it's just my big toe.
No.
You're stepping out of bed.
You make up a whole different story for that one.
Yeah.
You quiet intruder. You got to really make that one better.
Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate the call. Wow, that's just like, who could have ever predicted that? That's crazy. All right, 1-800-520-1067. I wish we had some sort of a prize or something, by the way, for the tiniest amount of exertion to the greatest amount of injury. But be interesting to hear what we get. We'll take your calls when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about the Major League pitcher who missed a start for the Arizona Diamondbacks because he cut himself doing the dishes. It got us into silly injuries for ridiculous reasons. Getting a lot of calls at 1-800-520-1067. A lot of emails and Facebook posts too, including Jennifer. I got a super severe burn from the frosting on a Pop-Tart. Spent the rest of the day at work with my finger in a glass of water. How about Dionysus? No way I pronounced that correctly. In the 80s, I was trying to do the spider, you know, the break dance where you wrap your hands around your legs and walk in your hands. My brother pulled my legs out from behind me and I went face first into the carpet, which was a very thin layer over a concrete floor. Ended up with a concussion and spent the weekend at the hospital. So he was in the hospital with a breakdancing injury. That's basically what that man's story was.
I had a tweet from a girl who said that she was putting on her PJs and just went head first, just right into the ground. And another girl who said that she was changing her tire and her trunk closed on her head, hit her in the head.
Oh, ouch.
Gave her a concussion.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's try Kandria. Kandria, like that's a name, is on line 4 and joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Kandria. What happened?
Hi, good morning. I was doing my homework. I was in college and sitting on my futon, and I was twisting my back, you know, to crack it. You know, you just kind of do a twist.
Right, right.
I sneezed at the same time and dislocated my shoulder.
Ouch.
Dislocated your shoulder with a sneeze.
It was painful, and I didn't know quite at first. I just felt the pain, and then I remembered moving again, and it popped back in, and I screamed, and I realized what I did.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I would imagine that would be the type of thing that would terrify you for the rest of your life every time you feel a sneeze coming on.
Yeah. And when I sneeze, I don't just sneeze once. I sneeze multiple times.
Sweet.
So I brace myself, hold on to whatever's near.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that, Kandria. Let's go to Danny. Danny is on line 8. And I am about to look like the smartest man in the world when you hear what happened to Danny.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Danny.
How'd you hurt yourself?
So I was in high school, and I just finished shaving. And then I started cleaning my ears with a Q-tip, and then I just kind of just left it in there. So I get the aftershave, start patting my face, and bam, just shoved the Q-tip right into my ear.
Why did you leave the Q-tip in your ear?
You never done that when you were little? You just kind of leave them in there?
No.
Not ever, once.
Because you thought it looked funny in the mirror, you mean?
I guess. I don't know. I just left them in there, and I just started, you know, and just smacked it in there. And just started bleeding.
Ruptured your eardrum. Oh, man.
God, that's got to be so
painful. Did that affect your hearing for life?
No, it didn't. It hurt really bad, and I had to go to school that day in the morning, and it just hurt so bad. I had blood in my ear, dry blood. My friends, why do you have blood in your ear? You know?
See, this is why you don't use Q-tips, guys. What did I tell you?
So Bean's never used a Q-tip. That's why he's
exactly
dirty ears.
Let's try, we got some really good ones here. Let's try Andy. Andy is on line 1 here. 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Andy. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello, Andy.
Hello, Andy.
Going once, going twice. Thank you for
Dear
calling.
Kevin and Bean, I broke my wrist losing my virginity many years ago.
Your wrist? You were doing it wrong.
Exactly. I felt it snap. I soldiered on, ended up at the hospital, but with a stupid grin on my face. I am still rehabbing it to this day. I'm not sure what he means by that, but how did he break his wrist? What was that about? All right, let's try Rick. Rick's on line 5. Hi, Rick. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
In high school, I took a sewing class.
A sewing class?
And I was making a shirt and screwed it up and had a seam ripper and was ripping the threads out and stuck it into my wrist.
Oh! Are you sure you weren't just trying to get out of a sewing class?
Or kill yourself?
That was part of the reason. So anyways, I drove to the hospital with the seam ripper in my wrist, got to the doctor. The doctor gave me 2 stitches, said I didn't need any anesthesia. Did the 2 stitches, which was really painful.
Right.
They made me stand up. They both turned their back, and I passed out and fell face first into the floor and got more stitches in my forehead.
Oh, my gosh. That's a one-two punch.
That's one right after another. That's good times.
I was waiting for the low blow. That's the only thing I needed.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for the call, Rick. Wow. Let's go to Tina. Tina's on line 6 up next on the Kevin Beach Show. See, people are going to be feeling better about themselves that they've never had this stuff happen to them. Hi, Tina. What happened?
So this past Memorial weekend, I went to the Punk Rock Bowling in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And we went to the TSOL pool party. And it was really cool. Beers were really cheap. So I had been drinking, and some of the guys that were sitting on the side of the pool said, why don't you go ahead and sit on the side of the pool with me? But I couldn't, put my legs back because it was so packed. So I ended up just jumping into the pool and ended up sitting on the side and didn't think anything of it until I got up to walk away, and I couldn't walk.
Why?
That's when my heel was killing me. I thought maybe I had even fractured it, but I ended up even going to the show that night anyways because it was going to be Flag and...
Because that's how you roll. Absolutely.
That's how it was.
So what was wrong with your foot, which is really more to our interest?
It ended up being that I have heel spurs, and one of the lower heel spurs actually cut into the meat of my heel.
Oh, my God. Ouch.
So it didn't actually break off, but it cut into the meat enough to cause the pain.
Sweet. Wow. And you would think that jumping into a pool would be a pretty safe thing to do, wouldn't you?
Yes. I never would have thought twice.
Thank you very
pool.
Much for the call. Yeah, exactly. Right. Unless you hit something when you go in, you wouldn't expect trouble. All right. Thanks for the call. Patrice on Twitter. Dear Kevin and Bean, my sister set herself on fire making Kool-Aid. She leaned over a lit burner to reach the sugar and her shirt caught fire.
Whoa.
All right. Let's do, can we do Candace? We have time for one more. Let's do Candace real quick. She's on line 7. This sounds like a crazy story.
Hey, Candace.
Hello. I was at my parents' house, and I was in the bathtub. It's a combo shower bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the shower glass doors that have, they're just in the track, and they're not framed or anything.
Sure.
And they're just kind of hanging from the top. So I'm sitting in the bathtub, and I went to go open the door, and the actual shower door came off the hinge at the top. The entire shower glass door fell on top of me and shattered and covered me in glass. I was pulling glass out of my wrist and out of my arm.
Oh my God.
I couldn't stand up because if I stood up, I would be standing in the glass. So
you're sitting there in the shower completely naked except for an entire shower door full of glass on you.
And I'm bleeding from all places and I couldn't tell where I was bleeding from because I was wet. And, you know, the blood kind of disperses when you're,
sure.
You know, so I had to scream for my humiliating. My brother and his girlfriend heard me.
Oh.
And they had to come help me get out of the actual bathtub.
Oh my God.
And I still have, it was actually 2 weeks before my wedding, so I have some nice pictures that you can see, some fresh scars and some fresh
2 weeks before. So how many cuts do you think you had over your body from that door?
You know, I don't know. I mean, a lot of them have healed, but I do have 3 significant ones. There's one in my wrist, and there's one on my forearm and a smaller one close to my wrist.
Did your fiance say, you're cutting your wrist, do you want to go through with this? Or?
I know.
What was, in retrospect, what was more painful, the glass door falling on you or your brother seeing you naked?
Good question.
Well, I have a severe fear of broken glass at this point. Like, I had already broken a table.
But you're not afraid at all of your brother seeing you naked.
No.
Okay, good news.
I had to move past that.
Okay, thanks, Kat. You guys, Grumpy Cat is a girl. Do your research before you put stuff on the radio, all right?
His name is Tard.
Come on.
You know, it's funny.
Tard.
A lot of times we do care to correct things if they're wrong, but this is Grumpy Cat.
It's a freaking picture of a cat on the internet.
Okay, so.
Matters not.
So everybody just back down.
Guy, girl, transgender. It
back away
matter.
From your phone or keyboard.
Doesn't matter who the cat likes to bone, okay? You're missing the
all
point.
All right.
You're listening to the... It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Again, a quick reminder, our friend Josh Homme joins us for the first time in a number of years on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour, talking about all things Queens of the Stone Age. That's tomorrow right here on K-Rock. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Two queens talking to a queen. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't understand.
Man of Steel. Man of Mother Effin' Steel.
That was my nickname in college.
No, it wasn't. No. Right. Head of Lead is what they used to call you. But Man of Steel, opening up in theaters everywhere on Friday, June the 14th, could not be more excited for a film than I am about Man of Steel. It's the rebirth of the Superman franchise. Henry Cavill, who's just dreamy and studly and sexy and handsome.
Yeah. Take it easy.
And manly and...
Got a room.
He is a great actor. He's got a lot going on, this Henry Cavill. Looking forward to see him don the cape. See what happens. Amy Adams is your Lois Lane. Michael Shannon is General Zod. Boy, is this good stuff. Would you like to go see it before anybody else? Of course
sure.
You would. Of course you would. We're doing a special K-Rock screening on Tuesday, June the 11th at the AMC Century City Theater. That is days before it comes out on Friday the 14th. So if you'd like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First 5 people get through with that number will get a pair of passes to attend our special screening of Man of Steel. That was a little too easy. I might have to come up with some trivia questions for the upcoming
make them earn it.
Giveaways of these. Yeah, because I have a long relationship with Supes, and I should be able to hit him with some good ones.
All right. Saying?
Boom.
Which dad do you like the most if one dad is Russell Crowe and the other dad is Kevin Costner, by the way?
I don't understand the question either. All.
I'm just saying, what's it like for this Superman? He's like torn between two worlds and two fathers, right? I wonder if he has a preference.
He doesn't remember much of Jor-El because Jor-El put him in a rocket as an infant and sent him here to Earth. He was raised by Jonathan Kent in Smallville. All of his morals and all of his upbringing stems from the Kent family.
Obviously,
his attraction, his attachment. To the Kents is much stronger than that.
Open up a blog.
Of his father, his birth father, Jor-El.
Okay. You know how crazy people are about their birth parents. I just wondered if he's torn at all, but I guess not.
Well, his knowledge, when he discovers that he is from another planet, of course, that rocks his world and changes him significantly.
Oh, there's one other thing. He's a cartoon.
No, he isn't, Kevin. He
is real.
Okay.
He is
my bad.
Part of our collective consciousness.
You're going to get on Roland's bad side.
He is an icon.
I do not want to be there with you.
He represents...
I'm with Ralph on this.
Much.
He represents much.
To those of us who believe in truth, justice, and the American way. Some would say he strikes a chord that's resonant with another famous son who was given to mankind by his father and brought peace, love, and justice to our world.
No one would say that.
Anyone ringing a bell for anything for you?
Nope.
Nothing?
No.
Another guy who could move giant boulders.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, no. Saying after 3 days, one of the sons moved a giant boulder. Not, Superman does that every day.
Not
Who's
right.
better? Yep. You tell me. You tell me. That's all I'm saying. Get me started.
We don't want to get you started.
We're trying to get you to finish.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Look about yourself. I'm bored with that story.
Okay.
Let's move on to Amanda Bynes and her plastic surgery.
Yes, please.
She was arrested, famously, of course, after she threw that bong out the window, allegedly.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And the cops took her in.
Is that when they slapped her vagina?
That's when they slapped her vagina. That's right.
She said?
She did not like her mugshot.
Well, how can you? She's a hideous beast.
Well, she thinks she needed some more work done on her eyes there. She had some skin that would come across the corners of her eyes attached to the bridge of her nose.
Okay.
Growing up,
she's part amphibian, right?
And so she had that work done. But upon seeing the mugshot, she tweeted, "I need to get another nose job after seeing my mugshot." Well, apparently she did just that. She tweeted today. By the way, this is in regards to a slap to her parents, too, which I don't understand at all. But my dad is as ugly as RuPaul.
She's big into calling people ugly.
So thankful I look nothing like you both regarding her parents.
Wow.
I had nose surgery after my mugshot, so my nose and I are gorgeous.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
So,
she used to be cute.
Yeah, but now she's gorgeous.
Now
she's
ruined.
Thanks to her surgeries.
AmandaPlease.com.
Thank God she doesn't look like her hideous parents, who look like RuPaul. By the way, RuPaul, pretty good looking broad, I think.
Not the worst thing in the world.
Also, she reportedly has been evicted from her New York City apartment as of last week.
Ah.
In Touch magazine says Bynes was notified she is no longer welcome as a tenant in the building in light of recent events. New York Post talked to some of the people who live in that building with her, said it was like living with Linda Blair from The Exorcist, and the most people were terrified of her. Imagine just get in the elevator and there's Amanda Bynes. Oh,
I'll
Jesus.
Take the next one, thank you.
She's wearing that clown wig that she wears. She's got her cheeks all pierced up, and she's got hands clutched, white knuckling a bong, just waiting to get to the lobby so she starts smoking some dope.
You are all going to die tonight.
That's what it's like. That's living with Amanda. Really quickly, let's all celebrate the death of American Idol, by the way.
Oh, really? It's over?
Well, it'll still be on television, but they announced their tour.
The American Idol tour.
They do, you know, they take all the top 10 contestants and they go on tour every
okay.
season. That's
mm-hmm.
one of the things that they do. Apparently, they had to cancel a ton of North American dates. 9 dates in the tour have been canceled due to lack of ticket sales.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I can't name one person on that show.
No.
I've never watched
it, but
I'm just
dates
glad.
Make up a fourth of the tour's
wow.
total run. So they're in big, big trouble, and they had to push back the tour schedule because they had so many open weeks. They had to rejigger the schedule.
Isn't that some of how they make money, the top 10?
I know how they make money.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. But nobody wants to go. Nobody cares. Today's celebrity birthday is Anderson Cooper's 46 years old. Happy birthday, Anderson. It's not particularly funny. It's just your birthday. Wishing you a happy birthday.
All right.
Sorry. No, it's okay. Mike Gordon of Fish is...
Come on.
Mike Gordon of Fish is 48 years old. Actor James Purefoy celebrates his 49th birthday. And Kerry King of Slayer, 49 years old.
Pull it together.
It's just your birthday, man. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are moments away for qualifying for the K-Rock Festival Flyaway Destination number 3, the Reading Festival. That's one of the big ones in London. Green Day is going to be there. System of a Down, Lumineers, Imagine Dragons, Phoenix. And who's this? Eminem is going to be playing?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? He barely plays one or two times a year.
Wow, this is bizarre. Anyway, got it for you all this week at 9:10 right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. So about 5 minutes or so, you get a chance to qualify. And then throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10, you get those details at krock.com.
Ralph did a story in the showbiz about Arnold Schwarzenegger and how he is coming up with a new TV series called Pump about weightlifting. I did not realize at the time. I figured it would be a half-hour comedy. It's going to be an hour drama.
Oh, really?
A drama.
Written by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Now, when I hear Arnold Schwarzenegger and pump, I think of something completely different. Nothing to do with bodybuilding. But apparently, an executive producer who is involved in the program and who stands to make a lot of money from it if it is successful says the birth of the fitness and bodybuilding revolution can literally be traced back to the days when Arnold arrived in the U.S. So he's kind of the guy who put bodybuilding on the map in a big way.
Right, but is he the one you want writing it?
Well, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. Has he written stuff in the past? I don't have
much. Not that I know of.
Yeah, I was surprised as well. But we wanted to find out more about this project, if it's really coming to TV. So we asked producer Dave, hey, how about getting us in touch with the governor? And I believe Mr. Schwarzenegger joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Arnold.
I love your big buttocks, she says.
Oh, no, you're writing it now?
Hello?
Hi.
Ah, Kevin Bean, how are you?
We are good. How are you?
Good. I'm writing my new script for Pump.
Well, we were curious about that, Arnold. Have you written any of your other projects before?
No, this is my first time writing, but I'm very excited because the story is incredible.
Well, it is an incredible story.
Look at your giant glutes, she said. Yeah, let me put some baby oil on them for the competition.
Okay.
Sheila.
Sheila, right? Yeah. It's an incredible story, and of course, you lived through it, and we saw a little bit of the real live world of bodybuilding back in 1977 with the Pump the Iron movie. But why do you need to write it? Why can't you just be an advisor on this project?
Because nobody knows the world as inside out as I do.
That's what advisors do, though. They can be an expert and help the actual writers.
But it doesn't matter. Why should I help the actual writers when I could be the actual writers, and then I can bring all of my wisdom and experience to the project?
It doesn't sound like you're a good writer at this.
I am a good writer,
okay.
First of all.
All right.
And second of all, let me work here some more.
All right.
Well, I think you should put baby oil also inside my posing trunks, right, says Arvin.
Wait, there's a character named Arvin?
Arvin, yes.
What's Arvin's last name?
Arvin Hammenschlager.
And who's going to be playing Mr. Hammenschlager?
Some incredibly handsome, incredibly built bodybuilder actor will have to play him.
Uh-huh.
We haven't found the right guy yet, but I'm going to have open casting soon.
I see.
Oh, look, right. There's a mirror. That guy's perfect. Oh, baby, I have to play Arvin Hammenschlager.
Well, if the people demand it. And you're thinking a 65-year-old is the guy we want to see sweating it up in the gym.
Oh, it's amazing for your age. You're still so incredibly sexy, says Sheila. Thank you very much, says Arvin. His sexy Austrian accent in full view. In full bloom.
So,
time for us to do the clean and jerk, says Sheila.
Okay. I hope that's really just a workout term.
I hope that's just a workout term. Sis. Oh, no. You're getting inside my head. Stop it.
Arnold, no. We're going to say no. We're going to pass on this project. Thank you.
Okay. Showtime luckily said yes.
Oh,
so that
man.
Means a little bit more to me than a man who has no say-so in television saying no.
Well, it just sounds to me like this is a way for you to meet and impregnate more chicks. That's the only thing that's going on.
You have no idea how difficult it is to cast the female lead in Pump.
Is that right?
I have been working Pump nonstop on Pump since the casting call went out for 23-year-old girls to play the love interest of Arvin Hammenschlager.
Uh-huh.
It's just been nonstop Pump, 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 Pump all week long.
A lot of times you'll have a casting director take care of that so that you don't have to worry about
but
it.
But I am the one with the insight and the experience of the world to know what kind of women were back there in the 70s hanging out at the gyms.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of stuff did they do with you at that time?
Well, first of all, let me explain what happened.
All right.
My pants.
Okay.
Would often come off.
All right.
And then the next thing that would happen.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Actually, we actually need to go,
is
Mr. Schwarzenegger.
Girls would wake up in my bedroom.
Oh, Arnold.
saying, get the number of the truck that hit me in the vulva.
I'd like to see that scene in the show.
Well, no, we're casting for a truck right now, actually.
Now I'm in.
That band is called A Silent Film, by the way, and the song is You Will Leave a Mark here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
You know what we do on Mondays? Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Fast and Furious 6 came in number one this weekend, $34.5 million. Made it so. Now You See Me in its debut. $28.1 million. That was a surprise of the weekend. Did better than they expected. A lot of people going out to see the magic caper film. I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
I was. I said it was akin to Ocean's 11 with magicians. A lot of fun. Very tricky script. Fun surprises.
Great cast, too.
Yeah. Then After Earth, the Jaden Smith film. Surprisingly, people don't want to see Jaden Smith star in a film.
Had none of those good things that the other movie had.
No, none of those. It only made $27 million, considering it's a $150 million price tag. Got to be a disappointment, right?
I would think so.
You think Will will stop shoving his kids down our throats?
No,
now?
I do not.
Epic and Star Trek Into Darkness in a tie for fourth place with $16.4 million each. Then Hangover Part 3, Iron Man 3, The Great Gatsby, Ye Jawani Hai Nuwani Duwani.
A good one.
$1.7 million and Mud rounding out the top 10. The box office this weekend. Actress Jean Stapleton died over the weekend. Best known for playing Edith Bunker in the classic 1970s sitcom All in the Family, but she was also a staple on Broadway. She had a long career. 90 years old.
I don't even know what that is.
All in the Family? It was a popular TV series in the 70s.
You know, your little friend Seth MacFarlane mentioned over the weekend, as a lot of people pointed out, that there's a tribute to All in the Family in the opening credits to The Family Guy.
Sure, when they're playing piano together.
And singing together right there, just like the start of the All in the Family. So it's kind of a nice nice tribute that they got.
No.
Why do you hate it, Kevin?
No.
I thought it'd be funny to play Peter from Family Guy.
Amanda Bynes says she's had more plastic surgery.
Yeah!
She saw her mugshot from that recent arrest in New York City where cops said she threw a bong out of her window. And she said, I need to get my nose done again. So she, according to her tweet today, did just that. Maybe that's why she was in Buffalo, New York. Although she said she wasn't in Buffalo, New York.
There you go.
She's got fake boobs, fake lips, fake nose, fake cheekbones. She's fake, fake, fake.
She was talking about her parents.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know why she was slamming them in this tweet, but she said, my dad is as ugly as RuPaul.
Oh, not so nice.
So thankful I look nothing like you both regarding her parents.
Is there anyone she does like besides Drake?
I had nose surgery after my mugshot, so my nose and I are gorgeous. She hasn't tweeted any new photos of herself, so we might have to wait to see the final results of her plastic surgery. But I, for one, am very excited.
That must have been a moment of party.
It was. I'm also excited about the story from Star Magazine where a friend is saying she is in serious trouble. She has a lot of problems, including recently she traded sex for some ecstasy, according to a friend.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Tell me again.
What?
That's hot to you?
This is
I don't want to sound creepy, but tell me that story again with my hands in my pants.
No, this is just a completely different level of crazy, though, if that's what's going on.
You really think it's such a leap for such a wigged-out drug fan as her to trade sex for drugs?
And how bad would sex with her be?
You kidding me? The crazy girl's the best one.
I don't know.
There's nothing you couldn't do. There's nothing she would say no to.
There's nothing you would want to do. She seems like she hasn't showered in a week. Doesn't she?
I hope she's not wearing that wig.
I think she showers all the time. She's always in the bathroom taking pictures of herself. She's got to do something in there. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with those photos. I'm all right.
I put a bag over her head. But
she's gorgeous now.
No.
With her new surgery.
She is not.
Speaking of sex and surgeries, Farrah Abraham, of course.
Farrah Abramson?
Yeah, sure. The backdoor teen mom. She says she's getting out of porn. She doesn't want to make a life of pornography. She doesn't want that to be the way she is defined. She says she has dreams of opening up a restaurant. She's going to get her master's degree. She's got a lot of plans to be a role model.
She's going to be an astronaut.
For single mothers everywhere. That's why Friday she was there at the Exotica 2013 convention in Florida. Spent her birthday Friday in St. Petersburg at the porn convention. Sitting at the table signing autographs, signing copies of her sex tape as well as 8x10 photographs. Well, I mean, signing. She would have signed them had anyone come up to the booth where she was sitting.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
She sat there alone?
If you like, you can go to the HollywoodTuna.com website and see footage they shot of Farrah at her booth, just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there.
Before they opened the doors, though.
It's hilarious.
Sitting there.
Oh, man.
Looking at her phone. Tweeting a little something, checking her messages.
One guy did yell,
"Get naked, you strange whore!"
Yeah, and then he walked by and did not ask for an autograph. So apparently even people who like their porn are rejecting Farrah Abraham.
That's a surprise to me, by the way, just because, you know, obviously her porn was very successful.
Yeah, but after you've seen that movie, you've seen all that there is to see. There's no need to have a conversation with this woman. She's got nothing else to offer.
You want a headshot of her, for God's sakes?
It all depends. You talking about a photograph?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yep. Sad news for new Whovians like Lisa and Dave.
That's a new Whovian.
A Whovian is a Doctor Who fan.
Ah.
Someone who's new to the program.
Oh, I see.
Like Lisa and Dave. They've only known one Doctor. They've only known Matt Smith as Doctor Who. He has announced over the weekend he will be leaving the iconic role after 4 years. He'll be, of course, appearing in the much-anticipated 50th anniversary episode in November, and then he will be on hand for the annual Christmas special. It's kind of a tradition in the UK. The Christmas Day, they have a big Doctor Who special, usually with a Christmas theme to it. And invariably, they take that as the opportunity. If they're going to change doctors, they will use that as the episode where they introduce the new doctor, because it's one of the most highly rated episodes of the year for the show.
Is it your turn yet, Ralph?
I am not in the running for the 12th doctor, I believe. At least they haven't called me yet. I'm waiting. We'll see. But Doctor Who, like James Bond, in my opinion, should always be played by a Brit. So I'm sure they will tap some talented British actor. But it's kind of cool to think. I mean, they say they haven't cast him yet. So it's possible that the guy who's going to be the next Doctor Who doesn't even know it yet.
Sure.
And then he will find out sometime before Christmas.
You did pull out the British accent, though, for that second season of Schmo.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I could do it.
You could do it.
I would crush it. Don't get me wrong. I would destroy that role. I'd make everyone forget every other actor who came before me. Don't get me wrong.
You would destroy that role. That's true.
I'm just saying I choose not to run.
It's Bobby!
Dr. Bobby Who. They've never said his first name.
Oh, there you go.
Could be Bobby Who. You don't know.
Has Dr. Who ever had a 70s porn mustache?
I don't believe there's ever been a mustachioed doctor.
Wow. You could break a lot of new ground being first American, first with a stash.
Yeah. I don't believe
first wrong for the role.
I don't think doctors ever had facial hair of any kind, as far as I can remember.
You gotta go for it, Ralph. How do you not want this job?
Would you stop talking about it as if I'm going
just
to...
Just say, you're an actor?
As if it's his choice?
I'm
you're an actor,
okay?
They need
that's
an actor.
That's where the similarities end between me and every other person who's played Doctor Who.
Just saying, go for it, man.
There's no going for it.
All right, you can be a quitter, too, just like Matt Smith.
There's nothing to quit.
Both of you are quitting.
Michael Douglas didn't quit.
No,
he didn't.
No, he didn't. He kept going and going and going.
Yes, he
did. Energizer buddy.
Interview with the London Guardian over the weekend when they were talking about his throat cancer. And they said, Michael, do you regret now the years of heavy smoking and heavy drinking and the drugging that caused your throat cancer? And he said, wasn't that, man. It's not what happened. I got it from the HPV, the human papillomavirus.
Now,
it's the genital wart virus. And they say one out of four people on the planet carry it. And he said that was the sexually transmitted disease that caused my throat cancer. It was from performing too much oral pleasure on his lady partners. That's how he got it. That's how he got it.
Such a giver.
He's too much of a giver, Lisa.
I like Bean's question. Has this been sourced as even a possibility?
Well, everyone knows HPV does cause cancer, and it has has been linked to...
Throat cancer, though?
Has been linked to oral cancers as well. Majority it was cervical cancer that they have an issue with, and that's why they created the vaccine that they give young girls now and trying to ward off the acquisition of HPV. So it certainly is possible that he got his cancer. in that way. However, now, it's much, 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 much more likely that he got it from years of heavy smoking, alcohol use,
so
and drug use.
Now, I was wondering when this story broke over the weekend if Michael Douglas is to be applauded for being brave and to point out the medical dangers of that activity or not, you know, like we did with Angelina Jolie, you know, just kind of raise the awareness, or if he's just bragging, or if he just lets ladies look at it and go, yes, I love him.
Look, it is absolutely...
I just couldn't stop doing it. Sorry. That's what
it has been established beyond reasonable doubt that the HPV type 16 virus actually absolutely causes... cancer of the throat, neck, and head. I mean, it's just that there's link has been established. So it's very possible that he could have gotten it from that. Now, whether they can...
I love this. Some men do not like the taste. I do.
Whether they can definitively say that's where it came from or not remains to be seen. What it was out without question, however, is what he said after the fact, which is by saying the best cure for it is also relentless cunnilingus.
I saw that Ben at the Troub last night.
Said the same thing that gave it to him was also the best cure for it. So he didn't really expand on that. But some doctors saying, does he think that maybe if more exposure to the virus will somehow boost his immune system? It's just
that had to be a joke.
Medically, that is not the case. Maybe I hope it's
I would
a
guess
joke. Maybe
a joke.
It's hard to tell in print. You don't know what his tone was. But so there we go.
What a bizarre story.
But it's certainly possible. Especially if he was with Amanda Bynes. I think it's almost definitive that happened.
When you become Doctor Who, you can treat Michael Douglas.
It's not that kind of doctor.
Oh.
It's a Time Lord. Time Lord. Time Traveler. I can go back in time and tell him not to.
Right. Don't go down there, Michael!
Pull him off, throw him in the TARDIS, and off we go. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Anderson Cooper is 46 years old today. Singer Mike Gordon of Fish turns 48. James Purefoy. Very talented actor. Maybe he's going to be the next Doctor Who. You don't know, man.
I don't know.
49
I'm not
years
saying
old
it either.
Today. You know, John Hurt, he's one of the Doctors. He's going to show up in the 50th anniversary special. It's very exciting. We just introduced to him in the last episode.
You know, tell me.
You remember John Hurt, don't
sure.
you? Talented actor.
Obviously.
Was in, let's see, what do you probably know him best from? Hellboy. He was in Hellboy. He was a doctor in Hellboy.
Yeah.
He played the Elephant Man in the movie with the same name. You don't know, man.
I do.
Just help me look at your face. You have no
I
idea
do.
Who I'm talking about. You don't know who John Hurt is. Not even a little bit.
All right.
Midnight Express. You ever see Midnight Express?
I know him.
He's in that too. You don't know John Hurt. No idea.
What does Kevin have to do to prove to you that he knows who
Look,
you're talking about?
Know anyone else ever when I'm talking
Look,
about someone.
This
will be the first time ever Kevin knows. And of all the people to know, I don't think John Hurt is on the list.
I'm very willing to admit when I don't.
You
Am
think
I not?
John Hurt is a famous trumpet player from New Orleans?
Oh, I don't.
All right.
Although I may be thinking of William Hurt.
Now! I guarantee you that's what's going
that's
on.
That's very possible.
All right. Pull up a picture. Just jump over here on the internet.
Move on. It really doesn't matter.
Pull up a picture of John Hurt.
I wish we could do mugshots. Like, we could have five different
you
people.
You pick out
and he
John Hurt
out.
For me.
Oh,
that's true.
That
be
would
awesome.
Be great.
Here we go.
Oh, that's not who
it's
I
not who you're thinking about,
no,
was it?
Not even a little bit.
Nope. Sorry.
Thinking
because
of William
it's
Hurt.
Too confusing.
My bad.
For Kevin, you know.
Stop it.
You want to ask your question again, Bean? What Kevin has to do to convince me he knows who John Hurt is? Would you like to ask your question
be someone
again?
Else? I don't. I already left. I went home.
And Kerry King of Slayer is 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, True Life is back on MTV, and the episode is called I'm Too Beautiful.
Poor girls.
Some highlights of that. We got Petros Papadakis.
Why do we have him?
So, for the women on the show.
Bachelorette!
Sally Ann Salsano is going to be here talking about Taboo. And Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age talking about the new Queens album.
You thinking of the
album.
Right guy? You know who you're talking about?
Not sure.
Him I know.
You're going to be William Homme?
I think I'm pretty familiar with Josh. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.